Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, it's Larry Mandelberg. Larry, you are the author of the book, Businesses Don't Fail, They Commit Suicide. Larry, you are found on the web at mandelberg.biz, and you are the founder of Mandelberg Consulting. You live in beautiful southwestern France, right? And I think that has something to do with what you do for fun. But first off, Larry, it's great to have you.
Thank you. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here.
Hey, Larry, this happened when, this happened when we were chatting too. Your microphone, for some reason, for the first second, starts off really quiet like this, and then it comes in. I don't know what that, it's some sort of a setting. It might be.
I've got a really nice, expensive Samsung mic. How does it sound right now?
It sounds good, but for whatever reason, like I said, this is what it does. So yeah, thank you, Josh. And so what I'd like to do, that's exactly what it's doing. Like it's okay. Really quiet, and then it comes in a second later. Let's try it again. And I don't know if it's called a noise gate. And noise gates, what it does is it kind of cuts out the really quiet stuff. It's meant to cut out background noise. But sometimes if the timing is like, I forget what the term is, but it just takes a while to come in. Are you using a mixer?
No. How does this
sound? USB microphone. Well, it's not doing it now.
Okay, so I just changed a setting.
Okay.
My system, for some reason, changed the setting from one mic away from my Samsung mic. I just reset it to the Samsung.
Okay. We should be good. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. With us right now, Larry Mandelberg. Larry, you are the founder of Mandelberg Consulting. You are also the author of the book, Businesses Don't Fail, They Commit Suicide. And you are found on the web at mandelberg.biz. Larry, it is great to have you.
It is a privilege and a pleasure, Josh. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I always love hearing from leaders what they do for fun when they're not at work. And I think that you living in beautiful Southwest France has something to do with what you do for fun. You mind to share kind of what you've been geeking out on?
Yeah, well, I've always been a fan of wine. And my wife of 46 years got me into wine. I was drinking the cheap stuff. She got me into the good stuff. We live in Bordeaux, France. And I've been drinking French wine for over 40 years, but I've been drinking it from the U.S., from the Napa Valley, in fact, the other wine center of the world. Yeah. And I love international wine, and I love old wine. And Bordeaux is known for its old wine. I knew a lot about French wine, but when we moved here, we actually moved here because of a chateau, a Margaux chateau. When we moved here, I started to learn more about French wine because you're living in the middle of it, right? And for example, I had no idea that it's against the law to irrigate vines in the Bordeaux region.
What?
Yeah, so it's against the law.
So that means that you can only rely upon weather?
Yeah, it's called dry farming. Yeah.
Wow.
And we're close to the ocean. So interestingly, in the U.S., wine is always driven by the grape first and the winery second. In Bordeaux, and it's common in more international arenas as well, it's always driven first and foremost by the AOC, the region, the terroir. Uh-huh. Because on the left bank, it's all rock, and on the right bank, it's all sand. There's no dirt here. All the grapes that are grown in the Bordeaux region grow in dirt, I mean sand or limestone or gravel. So you have the government dictates what you can put in the wine, it dictates the grape, it doesn't dictate the blend, but it dictates the priority. So if you're on the left bank, it has to be the bulk of it has to be Cabernet Sauvignon. If it's right bank, it has to be Merlot. Almost all Bordelaise wines are 80% Cabernet and Merlot or more. Some are 100%. But it's very rigid. It's very limited. And you have to be licensed to say you're a Margaux or a Pessac or a Médoc, whatever the region is. So it's all by, first of all, AOC, the region. Second of all, the year. The year dictates the heat and the moisture, hot, cool, wet, dry. And then they talk about the chateaus or the grapes. It's a fascinating thing, and it's just such a joy to learn about something I've been enjoying for decades.
I have so many, I think about like I have so many questions. If we had more time, I'm just thinking like, for growers, that's got to be like, listen, that's what we sign up for. That's what we agreed to. But, you would imagine that that impacts yield, right? And so they're like, man, I would love to double my output so I could double the amount of bottles I can ship out of here. But they
Right.
can't do that to just preserve that particular, again, that quality. That is fascinating.
Actually, what it really boils down to is the government says if you want to put Margaux on your label, these are the rules. And it's worse than that because, like, universities have to get certified on a regular basis for credits. They have to get recertified on a regular basis and prove that they're following the law.
Well, very
So,
cool.
yeah,
I
we could
like I
talk
said,
about this for days.
I'm such a wine noob. The extent of wine that I can appreciate is a sweet Florida wine.
Okay.
I just can't, for the life of me, I just cannot go dry.
So
But that's all
here's
right.
my 60-second advice for people like you who all say, I want to learn more about wine, but it's so complicated. It's not. It's like anything else if you let it be. Rule number one, find somebody that will let you taste it. And if you like it, drink it. And if you don't, don't. When you taste something you like, realize that it's a living thing, which means you can't keep buying the same thing forever. So you want to pay attention to the grape first, and second of all, who made it? And then look for more of it. And when you find something you like, buy it and don't overpay. Don't get hung up in words or lingo or how people describe wine. Don't get hung up in any of that stuff, because if it doesn't make your mouth happy, it isn't worth drinking. It's that simple.
Hear, hear. Larry, great advice. We need to get talking about your work. And so, would you mind sharing just a little bit? I'm going to get into the book in just a second, but would you mind maybe telling me a little bit more about what you do, the work that you provide, and the clients that you work with?
Yeah, I work with successful organizations with leadership teams that are struggling with success. One of the things that's true about the world and about organizations is that every organization wants things to stay stable. They want stasis. They want to avoid change. We know what works. We want to continue doing what works. We don't want the world to change. Unfortunately, the world is changing and has been changing since day one at a faster and faster pace. I call it the eternal conflict. You want to live in stasis, but the world won't let you. So what happens is, as an organization is successful, it grows. As it grows, things change. Change creates unexpected circumstances that most leadership teams aren't familiar with. So they have to make decisions based on assumption, not fact. And when they make bad decisions, sometimes they're expensive, sometimes they're fatal. No business ever failed due to external forces. No business. And I want to be careful here. I have 23 years of primary research in this, statistically valid, technically accurate, academically rigorous research, and 6 years of proof of concept. My research group excluded retail sales. So this isn't true for retail sales, but for wholesale sales, including through COVID, no business ever failed due to external forces. They always failed due to internal failure of leadership. And I've got it broken down in the book, and there's only three reasons. It's really, I get barked at when I say this. It's really very simple. It's not simple. What it is it's complicated, but it's not complex. Mousetrap is a complicated game, but when you drop that ball, if every single thing works the way it's supposed to, you know what's going to happen. The cage is going to fall on the mouse. Complexity is when you're playing chess and you have no idea what the next move will be because there's so many options. So fixing this, doing what's right to survive is complicated. To me, that means it's easy because there's a rule book. You follow the rules, you get success. It's not complex. It's not, I don't necessarily know what's going to happen. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen.
So your book, Businesses Don't Fail, They Commit Suicide. By the way, advertising and social media has got to be a little tricky because you got the S word in there. And I know
Right.
that sometimes algorithms like, oh, you gotta be careful when you're using that
Yes.
word. I don't know if you've bumped into that, but it's definitely very pointed. The
Yes.
subtitle, by the way, is How to Survive Success and Thrive in Good Times and Bad. So, and I suspect that the thesis, is expanded upon what you just shared, but tell us more about the book.
Well, gosh, I could trying to do that in 30 seconds is very difficult. There,
Go ahead
there's
and
a
take
there's a thing, there's a
35.
there, there's a thing called corporate life cycle theory, which was developed in the 80s and popularized in the 90s, and it's the study of how organizations age. Interestingly enough, because organizations are made up of people, organizations age in just as predictable manner as people do, from baby teeth to permanent teeth, through puberty, through the loss of hair, the loss of joints, the wrinkling of skin. It's absolutely predictable because we're all humans and we all live human lives. Using that as a baseline, I did my research into a particular demographic of organizations because I was tired of people telling me that startups that make it 3 years will survive. And then that was in the 60s and 70s. Then later in the 70s and the 80s, they said if they make it 5 years, they'll survive. I thought that's BS. If you've got people investing in startups and they're all failing before 3 years, if they don't make it 3 years, they fail. Those investors are going to stop investing. They're going to figure out why they went wrong and what to do about it. I wanted to find out why they went wrong. So I spent 23 years of primary research on a statistically valid sample size to find out why they fail. And what I found is that organizations live in three stages of maturity, organizational maturity. This is experience. It's not knowledge. It's not expertise. It's not talent. It's hands-on, been there, done that, burned my hand on the red burner experience. There's youth, adulthood, and youth, adolescence, and adulthood. Youth is narrow and shallow experience. Adolescence is narrow and deep experience. Adulthood is broad and deep experience. When an organization is successful, they go through what's called the arc of success. It begins with an idea. When that idea is successful, it leads to growth. Growth leads to complexity. Complexity leads to the need for controls. Controls lead to the loss of flexibility. So you go from a free-form environment to an environment where change has controlled what you can do, and you have to learn how to make decisions under different rules and guidelines. The reason organizations fail in and youth is a lack of clarity of purpose. The reason they fail in adolescence is a lack of consistency of performance. And the reason they fail in adulthood is a lack of engagement of people. I call it the three P's. Purpose, performance, people. And to make things even easier, oh, wait, maybe I'm making them more complex. No, there's a tool that was developed to measure the leading non-financial financial indicators of organizational capacity to create sustainable growth. Leading non-economic indicators to create to, for the capacity to create continuous growth. And there's eight of them. Three of them are youth, three of them are adolescents, two of them are adulthood. So when I engage with a new entity, and by the way, I'm not recruiting for clients. I'm semi-retired. You gotta be special to get me to work for you. That's why I'm delivering stuff electronically, et cetera, and doing these podcasts because I want to share the wealth. What it does is it's like a 10-minute assessment. It's a yes-no question assessment. And it tells you of those eight indicators, your weakest to your strongest. And then we go in and attack one of the three weakest based on the most urgent need. Best example, if you're having cash flow problems, we look for the one of those top three weakest factors that will impact your cash the fastest. That's the one we fix first. Then we go to your next weakest and your next weakest. And then we build you an organization that is more than durable. It's resilient. It's an organization that knows how to handle change by doing something very simple. It stops reacting to it and it starts owning it. When I speak to groups, I always open with the same question. How many of you, generally speaking, believe that people like change? Larger the audience, the more hands I'll get, but even with 500 people, I'll get 10, 15 hands. Then I say, okay, how many of you, generally speaking, believe people don't like change? And of course, all the hands go up. And then I say, you're all wrong. Every one of you that just raised your hand is wrong. Every human being on earth loves change. Change is not the problem. The problem is who's doing it. Everyone loves change they do to others. No one likes the change others do unto them. So the secret to managing change is getting your organization to think critically. That's a classic term, critical thinking, forward thinking, and to learn how to make change yours. So it's you imposing the change instead of the others imposing the change on you. It's fascinating stuff. And that's why I say it's simple. It's not simple. It's complicated, but it's not complex.
Larry, your website is mandelberg.biz. We got about 10 seconds here. We're really backed up against the wall here. Your book is on Amazon. It's called Businesses Don't Fail to Commit Suicide, How to Survive Success and Thrive in Good Times and Bad. It is both in paperback and Kindle. Larry, when someone goes to your website, what would you recommend they do?
Schedule a free 20-minute consult with me to ask me questions and let me help you for free.
Wow, what a great offer. Larry Mandelberg, again, Mandelberg Consulting, found on the web at mandelberg.biz, and the book is Businesses Don't Fail to Commit Suicide. Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your PodVerified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.